heart. So I guess that was my punishment for going away for Pesach. Anyway, it was for most of Yom Tov, it was in the upper part of my head. Now it seems to have settled in my throat. So anyway, I apologize if I sound like a frog. Anyway, all right. We are continuing where we left off before Pesach. We had a pre-Pesach shiur, and then of course we took off for Pesach. And that was, we had begun, Baruch Hashem, with the Siyata Rishmaya, Sha'ar Shlishi. So we've already finished Rishon and Sheni. We're up to the third section here in Volume 1. And he had already told us in the opening, Mavo, I'm not sure which one's the foreword, which one's the introduction, but you have a foreword and an introduction here. And what we saw before Pesach was that this Sha'ar is going to be more focused on the things which make us more unique or individualized. Right? I said this out yesterday. Pticha Lavora Pratit. That's the one that we're doing today. So we had already seen a little bit. I'm not going to review, obviously, everything we saw before Pesach. It was a long piece. We did, I think, over 2 weeks. But there were some beautiful ideas he had quoted at the time from Rav Chaim Vital, from the Gran, from the Maral, all about whether it's your strengths or even your Yitzrei Hara, your weaknesses, how everyone has their own unique derech, and it was important to be self-aware and connected to that. So picking up on that theme, he has an introduction, Pticha. Here, yeah. Set this out.
Yeah, I know he's looking inside though.
Oh, you're looking inside. Oh, in my version, it's page 136. Yeah, it's Sha'ar Shlishi. Then you have a mavo, then you have a pticha. Are you on the WhatsApp?
I am, but I also got it after.
Oh, sorry. So your phone doesn't work. You don't have your phone here.
No, I have it.
Oh, is that opening?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay, here, you can take this. Here, look, you can use mine. Here, somebody can borrow from my phone. Anyway, so here in this Pticha, he continues on the theme, and let's see if it opens. 1 second, I'm sorry. Yeah, 1 minute. Here we go. PDF reader should be opening. And here we go. Oh, more ads. I guess you can't complain. We're all so used to all the free stuff. Okay. Okay, can't complain when the free PDF reader takes a while to open, right? Anyway, okay. Without further ado, the Pticha Lavoda Pratit. So we're just going to do two. The PDF is 5 pages. Maybe we'll finish it next week. We're just going to do 2 pages today. But really, really, I think some very, really great ideas will remind us why we love the Sefer so much. So it says, Revolbi, top of the page. In the previous, again, everything in Musar and everything in the Sefer has been, for us to internalize. But nevertheless, previously, he says in the book, we focused more on general ideas that could be made more relevant. However, in this Sha'ar, we're more focused, more emphasizing more the inner and subjective life of every individual. Hein tzadenu harishon ba'avodotenu ha'pratit hu, lilmod ki ani z'olam malei. He says, the first thing we have to realize for this work of this whole section, the first step we need to take is to realize that just like there's a big world out there, the ani, the inner world, is its own world in and of itself. Ein ha'ani rak osef tugvot al mitrachesh mechutza lo v'osef shifot l'ma shechutz mimenu lo. Ha'ani atzmo hino olam ha'chai chayim atzmaim. One sometimes is tempted to think, or subconsciously think, or lulled into thinking that me basically is a collection of reactions to external stimuli. When I'm hungry, I do this. When someone upset me, I do that. When it's cold, I do that. Everything is reacting to things that are coming from the outside. And he says, it's a mistake. It's true, we have to react. Of course, we have to adapt. But ani, the true ani, is not just something that reacts to the outside world, but rather it is a world into itself. Merov bnei Adam, this is a very powerful paragraph now. Merov bnei Adam, ne'alam kalil olam penimizeh. Most people are completely unaware of who they are. Completely unaware of this inner world. Rov bnei Adam chayim et chayehem b'kivun el olam achitoni. And ain't this the truth? Most people live their lives completely aware, sensitive to, focused on everything going on around them. V'hem mefachadim lahafoch et kivun chayehem p'nima el atzmam. And they're scared to be inward focused. They live their lives for the neighbors, for the friends, for the community. It could be even for children or a spouse. But all sorts of things are outside of the person. And instead of focusing inwardly. Lu rak l'sha bikar mitoch slida b'fnei ha'olam ha'nistar v'hazar shel ha'atzmam. Right? Some people, it's not about how often it is. It fundamentally comes from a place, says Rav Volbi, from a slida, an aversion that people have to this inner world. Right? It's like if you're a tourist, right, and you get lost and you end up in a country where you don't know the language and no one knows your language, right? You're uncomfortable there, right? You don't feel at home. So says Rav Volbi, people are basically tourists inside themselves. It's uncomfortable. We don't want to be in that world. If there's the world, and then there's our world, it's shocking or even almost paradoxical. You'd think, my inner world, I should be the most comfortable. That's me. It says, probably most people are just the opposite. They're actually least comfortable. They have a slida, an aversion to being self-aware, to being inside themselves, to understanding themselves. It's funny, in a completely unrelated context, but the day I got to America, I had to have an appointment with my father, and I can't remember what prompted him to say this, but he made a comment to me while we were waiting for something. He said, you know, in today's day and age, there's such an emphasis on self-esteem, but there seems to be complete obliviousness to self-awareness.
He's mentioned this.
I have it, yes. It may be because my father says it all the time. But that particular line, I don't remember, I ever heard that formulation from him before. Everything's about self-esteem, there's not so much self-awareness. So that's what Rav Volbi is saying, you know, a generation or so before. That is to say, people are unaware and uncomfortable even being inner-focused. Zod Od, next paragraph, another powerful insight, I think. Kulanu trudim b'olam ha'ma'aseh. We live in a world of action, and we're preoccupied, because if we didn't take actions, we wouldn't be able to survive. And therefore, there's nothing wrong with that per se. But as a result, Muskol Rishon Amar Lanu, at first glance, what do we tell ourselves? Shiyesh laharbos masim b'chol shetchei ha'chaim livnot litzor b'olam gam lihibanot mimenu lipaseis bo limtzo bo et mikomenu. It's intuitive. We almost make this leap subconsciously. We assume that just like for all the external things I need in life, I have to do all sorts of actions. So presumably, I will build myself also with, not necessarily with self-reflection, as much as all sorts of external actions will be the way to build myself. Ulam, he says, this is really, really powerful, the next half of this paragraph. Someone who thinks about this deeply will realize, Halo ha-borei yitbarach manhiket olamo, ha-kol yachol, lo nivtar bimeno la-avil olamo, lidei tu'udato gam bilidi ma'aseinu. He says, one second. In everything that we do, all of our actions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't actually need any of that to happen. Whatever God's grand plan for the world is, by definition, He's God, right? He's Hashem. It could happen whether or not I got up and went to work, whether or not this crucial thing I did, this thing that the world needs, it could be a job, it could even be a chesed. I don't just mean about money. Everything that we do that we consider truly meaningful, right? Don't worry, don't get too depressed because he's gonna make this more positive. But one, on some level, we have to be honest, none of it's necessary. After all, if it's something that's really important, Hashem could get it done with or without us. If that's the case, then we have an incredibly profound question. Lama eifo ma'asim. So why is it that we must do all sorts of things in life if Hashem could get things done without us? Eifshar lemtzoa zeh tam acher rak zeh. It must be mervas. It must be bal karcha that why did God create a world in which we have to do all these actions? It's not so much that Hashem needs the results or that the world needs the results, but rather, tam acher rak zeh. It could be for only one thing. Tachas hayetzira hi l'havi osanu lidei shleimus. V'shleimus masigim rak al yedei ma'asim. Incredible, incredible insight. It's not so much for the external benefit and results of our actions. Those Hashem could take care of without us. Rather, the thing that we're doing, which is accomplishing, quote-unquote, in this world, whether it's our jobs, whether it's chesed, or even mitzvos. Who? Does Hashem need our karbon? Does Hashem need our lulav? The answer is no. The ultimate goal of all of these things is that we're building ourselves. That's the one thing that no one, not even Hashem, can do for us. If we want to perfect ourselves, if we want to actualize ourselves to the greatest possibility, Only we can do that. And says Rav Volbi, the fact, he's not denying it, we live in a world that requires actions, in a world of doing. But it's clear, says Rav Volbi, when we think about it more deeply, the ultimate goal of all those actions is not what happens outside of us, but the impact, because those could have been taken, God could have choreographed those in any other way, myriad of other ways. But rather, the one thing that God couldn't choreograph is what will my actions do to me? How will they impact me? How will they help make me a better person? Ilazos, davka bal hamasim chayav letapeach olamo apnimi. And therefore, davka, a man of action, a person who does things, has to foster his inner world. Ba'ofen shema'asav yichazku epnimiyoto. And so if you just go through the motions of all sorts of actions, a life of action, and it could be a successful life, as viewed from the outside, spiritually, you have a nice family, you're a good father, a good mother, have a good job, but it never, you have no self-awareness, and therefore you're never developing through all those actions and that life of accomplishment on the inside. What was it worth? The hope, it was all purposed. After all, Haborei eino zakuk l'maaseinu. And he then goes on to quote a number of psukim, one from Mishlei, two from Eov, in which, you know, again, in isolation they could be depressing, but I think he's elevating, with his broader perspective, I think it's not depressing as much as hopefully it just helps us have the right focus. As the psukim say in Mishlei, if you achieve wisdom, im chachamta, you're doing it for yourself. Hashem doesn't benefit from your wisdom, and if you don't, you're going to have to carry the burden, no one else. If you sin, you don't hurt God, you're going to have to carry the burden. And if you do a tzedakah, you do a mitzvah, you didn't do anything for Hashem, etc. So those psukim all further this point, that yes, we're living in a world of action, but the ultimate goal of that action is not to benefit externally, rather internally. And therefore that's why it's so important to be self-aware, because that's ultimately our self-awareness and our ability to gauge how we're progressing and how we're doing on the inside is really the ultimate purpose of life. He goes even further. Right, it's a very big sugya. What does it mean, holiness? Kadosh, 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 kadosh in tiyu. What is holiness? And in different Mamari Chazal or different Rishonim, you can find different definitions. But in this context, says Rav Volbi, at least one dimension, I don't know if he's claiming the exclusive, or exhaustive, but one dimension of Kedusha is self-awareness. It's not a common definition. How does he know this? It's a diuk he makes from a very powerful Gemara, Masechta Yoma. He says we can learn, as often is the case in many areas of life, we can learn what Kedusha is by studying the opposite. Right? Very often, right? That's the whole power of contrast. So he says, if we understand what Tumah is, we'll understand what Kedusha is. And the Gemara in Yuma there quotes the Pasuk that deals with eating shrutzim, eating creepy crawly insects. And the Pasuk there talks about, not only is it Usr, but the Pasuk there talks about, don't do it because vinditmetam bam, you'll become tameh through them, right, if you eat these foods. Right. So the Gemara there says, al tikre vinditmetam, ela vinitamtem. And this is the idea, says the Gemara, about how, specifically talking about non-kosher, it could lead to timtum halev. What's timtum? Timtum doesn't mean to be impure, it means a stoppage. Timtum halev, says Rav Volbi, what do you see from this? As the Gemara says, timtum halev, I hargasha ba'atzmeinu. When we're numb, when our senses are dulled to the point that we don't know who we are really. Timtum halev is that extra layer, right? There's, as it is, it's hard enough to be in touch with our true selves, in touch with our neshamas, etc., etc. But if we do certain things in life, the specific context there had to do with non-kosher, but the broader point is the result of all sorts of things in life add an extra layer, and tuma is identified in this context as being with a play on words, timtum halev, that is to say, a barrier, or some obstruction so that we are unaware or distant from ourselves. And therefore, what do we see from this? Ha-hefech, if that's what tumah is, timtum, the opposite is kedusha. Usually we think, and he's not denying it, that to be holy means to be less dependent on, less subservient to our physical, carnal, you know, desires, etc. Perhaps, but it's not only that. Kedusha is to be nihiyeh er al yada. You should be awake, aroused, alive through our good actions. Lahargish ba'atzmenu b'matzavahu lakir mekomo. A person who becomes more self-aware through his actions at whatever level he's at, but he knows where he is and he feels himself moving in the direction that is itself a form of kedusha. Let's do a little bit more. We'll skip to the next page. He says, now is the practical point, and basically the rest of the, what we'll study today is the practical point. Says Rav Volbi, second top of the next page. Ketzad adam chai b'kivun el atzmo. So how do you do this? Okay, now that he's told us that the ultimate goal of life is to be focused inward and understand how we're growing, and that that's not a contradiction with living a life of action and doing, right? It does not mean going off to a mountain and just being a hermit and self-reflecting or in an ashram your whole life. No, you have to be in the world and having a life of action. But the actions, as he said previously, are all about the impact they have on us. But how do we, it's such a hard thing. It's every natural impulse is looking to the outside world. So how do we shift our focus and have an appropriate level of focus inwardly? How do we do that? So he bases himself on a beautiful insight, a famous insight of the Baal Shem Tov. Mukubal b'shem Baal Shem Tov. Ki kol mash anu roim misaviv lanu, hu kmo ri'i, asher bo ha-shakacha ha-elyona, mare lanu et atzmenu. Baal Shem Tov had an idea, which Rav Volbi is going to run with now. Everything that happens in our life, everything that we're exposed to, it's intended to be a mirror to things happening in our own life. So the people who see Tumah everywhere, it's not that it's not there, it might be there, but it's God, so to speak, has placed it in their lives to make them aware of the fact that there's still some form of Tumah in their own hearts that they need to uproot. The people who are totally free of it can almost be oblivious to what's around them. The things that are around us are, so to speak, a gift, if you will. Sometimes the harder ones are more painful. But nevertheless, it's placed, all these experiences and exposures in our lives are intended to serve as a mirror, so to speak, so that we can reflect back. And in order to elevate, we'll just do 2 points and then we'll stop because it's late. But he mentions 2 points, one from a Gemara, one from a Medrash, which highlight this idea. One of which, in the next paragraph, is for the Lom Deha Dafayomi. This is in Yonah Diyoma. We went from Nazir, and now we're in Sota. And the Gemara itself, very famously, in the beginning of Masech Sota asks, why is it that Nazir and Sota are juxtaposed? And the famous Chazal is, Lama Nismacha Parshas Nazir LaParshas Sotar, Lamar Lecha Shekol Haroa Sota Bekulkula, Yazir Atzmo Min Hayayin. If a person happens to see, happen to be in the Beis HaMikdash, they are just bringing their carbon. They're minding their own business. They could have come tomorrow, they could have come next week. They happen to be in the Beis HaMikdash today. And there's a ceremony, Nebuch, with a sota, a marriage that has frayed, the bonds of trust between husband and wife have been so broken that the husband accuses his wife, basically humiliates her in the Beis HaMikdash, and you see this horrible thing. Says the Gemara, what should your reaction be? You didn't do anything wrong. You just have to be in the Beis HaMikdash. What should your reaction be? You should go to the other extreme. If this woman is accused of being overindulgent in the physical, you, having seen that, should go to the opposite extreme, become a Nazir, avoid alcohol, at least for the time being. So says Rav Volbi, Berosi Adam Bekulkulo, Hirani Roa Tekef Es Atzmi. What's the Gemara really saying? Think about that. That's a famous Gemara, a Rashi. Basically, what the Gemara is saying is, when you see something bad happening in the world, in that case, right, what's our natural propensity? We would just want to gossip. Oh my gosh, honey, you're not going to believe what happened to me in the Beis HaMikdash today. You know, all other, you know, you said to your kids, hey, who wants to come to the Beis HaMikdash today? I'm going to a car button. And no, this kid's got a play date. This kid's already, oh guys, you missed it. You have no idea what I, right? We gossip. We might post on social media. I can't believe it. I saw a sota ceremony. Wow. It's crazy. She blew up. No, it doesn't really happen exactly like that. But says Rav Volbi, no, of course, that's the opposite. That's just focusing outwardly. The real purpose of that is what the Gemara is telling us is, if you saw something Nebuch like that, immediately you have to say to yourself, wow, what about that? I didn't do that sin. But still, what in that sin, what crumbs of that can I find in myself? All the various components or complications of sin I can find in my own heart. And instead of focusing on the humiliation of the sinner, the woman in that case, after think about how can I avoid falling into that. I don't want to become like them. I don't want my marriage to become like that. I don't want my personal life. Right? And this is, again, it's not the Nazir and the Sota are one example, but they're really just a paradigm. Because, again, I'm sure all of us on some level have had this painful experience, and I've certainly had it, and I've certainly talked to my students sometimes about this, or even people in the shul, right? People often think, I can tiptoe right up to the line. I know that everyone knows stories of people who went over the line, but that won't happen to me. Not me. I can tiptoe right up to it, whether it's in the financial realm, or in all sorts of other realms. And it's so, we don't realize that it is so easy. So if we don't want anyone to have misfortune, but if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided you're going to know about, you're going to be aware of, you're going to be exposed to someone else's misfortune because of mistakes that they made, the reason isn't to gawk over them or to feel good about yourself. Ha ha, you see, I didn't do that. It's a way of reminding ourselves, you know what? But by the grace of God go I. If I wouldn't be more careful, if I'm not... It could easily be me. That's an example, says Rav Volbi, of this idea of the Baal Shem Tov. Things that happen in our lives, use those as a mirror, so to speak, use those as a catalyst to say, what can I learn from that? And just to conclude, he mentions something which is so simple, it's often overlooked because it comes in the summer months. And apparently we don't have to really learn Torah in the summer, and there's no Kriyas HaTorah in the summer, just somehow we get to Dvarim, and then somehow we're aberracious by Sukkos. But one of the great, simple Mamari Chazal, which again was in Rashi, right in the beginning of Shlach. The Gemara asks, Rashi quotes it, Lama Nismacha, Parshas Meraglim, Parshas Miriam. Right before the Meraglim go out, then in the previous Parsha, Miriam gets Tsaras. So says the Medrash, Rashi quotes it, Lafisha Laksa al Iske Diba, She Dibra Be'echeha, that she, Miriam, got Lashon Hara, because she spoke Lashon Hara about her brother. And these Rishayim, these wicked people, Ra'u V'lo Lachu Musar. They saw that. Everyone knew what happened to Miriam. And they didn't learn the lesson. And then they went and spoke Lashon Hara about the land of Israel. So says Rav Volbi something fascinating. Again, a famous medrash. Ra'u V'elehem lo nagah ma'ora klal. They had nothing to do with Miriam. And yet, El toch olamam ha'pnimi lo chadru advarim. And therefore, as a result, again, whether they were like the average person and spent the Shabbos over the cholent, can you believe it? Miriam, oh my gosh, what a scandal! Moshe's family. Oh yeah, there's nothing we enjoy more than when the mighty fall. A scandal with the richest family, the most powerful family, the Rosh Hashiva's family. Ah, geshmak lashon hara, right? Instead of learning from it, they said they didn't take any lessons. What did I do with them? Just some good juicy lashon hara. But says Rav Volbi something amazing. Yeshel hishtomim shebaad zek inu osam chazal rishayim. Right? Chazal say they are again. I'm not sure this is the only way or the simplest way to read the chazal. Says Rav Volbi, what the Medrash is saying is from the moment they didn't learn the lesson, they were rishayim even before they actually gave their bad report about Israel. How could that be? Hello, tzaddikim ayosha. The people who were chosen to be the meraglim were leaders, tzaddikim. Elamai, what do you see from this? That just that alone, ra'u v'lo lachu musar. Again, it's the simplest thing. But you see from that chazal, Rav Volbi is tying it into the broader theme of the paragraph, of the chapter. That is the key to life. The difference between being a tzaddik and a rasha is when you're ro'eh, are you lokeach musar or not? If we're lucky, the painful things that we can learn from happen to other people. A lot of times in life, we have to learn from our own mistakes. Every now and then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a gift. We have the opportunity to learn from someone else's mistake. To not do that is to be a rasha. It's a very, very strong term. I would have thought a fool, maybe. But because I'll go further. Because in essence, the whole purpose of you being exposed to these things in your life or anyone else's life is to be that mirror, as the Baal Shem Tov referred to it. It's for us to learn and to internalize the lessons. How can this experience, it could be my own experience, something I'm exposed to from somebody else, a random thing in the street, whatever. What can I learn from it to help make me a better person? And if I don't do that, that is a wasted spiritual opportunity of untold proportion. So this is an example. Now we saw two Ma'ariv Chazal emphasizing this idea. But to sum up in 1 minute or less, what we saw in this chapter is, number one, his insight that our inner life is not just the reaction we have to things in the external, quote-unquote, real world. Our inner life is its own... It's not, we're not being mezalzel in the, quote-unquote, outside world. But that we shouldn't be mezalzel on the opposite direction. We shouldn't lose sight of our appreciation of the inner world. Our inner world is its own world in and of itself. And the ultimate goal of all the things happening outside of us are for the impact it will make inside of us. That's not only self-awareness. He referred to the fact that's a form of kedusha, because timtum alev, when we do bad sins, we become more detached and desensitized to who we really are. And kedusha is to be sensitized and to be self-aware. And then the last point, which we just saw, was, okay, if the whole purpose of life ultimately is to be inner-focused and how we can learn from every experience to make a better person through them, well, how do we do that? And his answer was, to borrow the phrase from the Baal Shem Tov, we have to look at everything that's happening around us is a gift from Hashem, whether it's a painful gift or a pleasurable gift, but a gift from Hashem, because everything around us is somehow supposed to be, or is a reflection of a lesson that we're supposed to learn. Whether it's the person who sees the sota, or the meraglim, who unfortunately didn't use this way of modus vivendi of going through life, they didn't learn the lessons from things that happened around them, and as a result, unfortunately, that itself was a damning mistake on their part. And unfortunately, it led them to even worse mistakes. So the focus inwardly, getting to know ourselves, being comfortable, right? He said so many people have an aversion, a slida. They are uncomfortable with themselves. They don't want to think about themselves. It's easier to think about the outside world. But that's really going to be the aravoda in this whole section, is to be more self-aware, more inner-focused, and in what we can learn from and how we can grow internally. Amen.